Thank you so much, Madam Chair. As we affectionately know when a lady is hosting. My name's Alan. I am a compulsive gambler. I have no gambling to report today, I'm glad to say, nor since the 18th of March 1991. I am a grateful recovering compulsive gambler and am absolutely delighted that 34 people have taken the time, to come along. I seem to recall, I think this is the fourth time that I've chaired at this particular meeting on a Tuesday. So for anyone that was here the other three times, please don't be bored and switch off too early. I had a think about it and I thought, well, there are three previous, shares from me. So shall I do the same or shall I go along a different route? So what I did was I made some notes. Okay, very brief, just to guide me, and being conscious of the time, I'm timing myself, which doesn't happen very often. And I'll give myself a little bell in the ear, as I say. My history is, quite simple. I'm delighted to see everybody here, lots of old friends, lots of new friends. But the one thing I would say is, I may have been here for 34 years. I'm no different from anyone else. Whoever got up the earliest today in this meeting is the person that's longest off a bet. That is my philosophy, and that's the way that I operate. And always have done. I came here very potted history. As a young man, I was 37, would you believe? And I was a serving police officer. I had got myself into some difficulties. I thought financially, and I went along to my first meeting in January 1991, and there was a person there in the chair that night who some people on here will know was Tommy D from Dundee, who sadly is suffering from lung cancer and is currently in hospital. I was supposed to visit him tonight, but he's been too unwell and he's been sedated. And it struck me that without that guy, I may not be here. And I went along to that first meeting really with the intention of paying lip service because, as most of you will know, you've probably been there, I was the great I am. There was nothing better than me. I knew everything. Nobody could tell me what to do. All I went along for was to sort out my finances and get away from, the difficulties in my life, which were domestic, at home, financial. I was about to be evicted. Work-wise, I'd been in lots of trouble and so on. So without going into the whole war story, it was quite horrific. I was under a lot of pressure and I decided there has to be an answer. I was not sure whether I was an alcoholic, I'd heard of AA, I'd never heard of GA. So I thought, well, I do gamble a lot because I gambled all my life and from a very young age. And it had got to a stage where things were so bad financially that I couldn't cope. Now, I had been introduced, one to the worst thing that ever happened to me was I had been a detective quite young in my career, and I'd been introduced to the casinos, and I was overwhelmed by that. My inability and unwillingness to accept reality kicked in, and I really thought that I was James Bond. I thought I was Mr. Wonderful. I can do this. I love this life, the high life. I can do anything. I am invincible. Sadly, That was not the case. I had got to a point where question 20 had come into my thoughts, and I had intended, obviously, I didn't carry it out, to commit suicide. Now, I knew I wasn't a stupid person. I've never met anyone in Gamblers Anonymous who is not a very intelligent person, because as most of you will know, some of the, I was waiting to say stunts there, but some of the things that we get up to take a lot of intelligence, believe me, and we juggle, all sorts of, glasses in the air in order to achieve our main aim, which of course is to maintain, sadly, our addiction. Anyway, that was my first night, and you heard me say that was just the 14th of January, 1991, and you heard me say earlier my clean date is from the 18th of March, 1991. Sadly, Mr. Wonderful couldn't keep it up, and 10 weeks on, I gambled on a game of dominoes because I was not strong enough. I was a way to say weak there, but I don't think I was weak. I think didn't have enough, recovery in me to refuse to play a game of dominoes, which I knew was going to be played for money. And I got involved in that, and subsequently, again, money doesn't really mean much, and sums of money mean nothing. But it was the equivalent, I suppose, across the pond there of 6 cents is what I gambled for at that particular time. But I gambled nonetheless, and people said, well, it's only a blip and so on. And I had to come to terms with it was not. It was a gamble, regardless of everything surrounding it. And I'm really, really glad that I made that decision. Anyway, I was then told by that chap that I spoke about, who sadly is suffering that horrible disease of cancer and currently in Nine Wells Hospital here, that he was nothing like me. And yet he told my story. And I knew virtually immediately that this person is totally different from me. He's not the same lifestyle. He's not the same personality. He doesn't do the same things. He doesn't gamble on the same things. And yet he sat and told my story. And of course, as time went on, I'm glad that night, because I went from that first meeting, my wife, who told me subsequently, she only came along to make sure that I stayed and didn't run away. But that's her honesty program, because she's in Gammon. And my sister Frances, sadly, no longer with us. And I went and saw them, or met them in a nearby hostelry, and I said, I know what's wrong. I am a compulsive gambler. So whatever happened that night, I got it. I knew immediately I'm a compulsive gambler. Now, was that the sick person in me saying, hey, this is a great excuse, Alan. You can get away with anything. Just admit you're a compulsive gambler, and you're on your way. However, I then heard, because I was nosy, being a detective, of course, how does it work? I asked the questions, how does this place work? How are you going to help me, to overcome this? And the answer was, Gamblers Anonymous is a self-help therapy group. Wow, total deflation. Self-help, that means I've got to do something. I thought you were going to hand me it on a plate. I'm a compulsive gambler. I need everything done for me. I want everyone to help me and not have to put in too much effort. That wasn't the case. So it was, okay, having said that, then, how do I get this self-help therapy stuff? You share experience, strength, and hope, which, of course, is why I'm here sharing experience, strength, and hope tonight. And, of course, none of that really made much sense to me at the time, but it was a great byline. And And the question next was, how do I do that? And that was very important because the word how came right into my life at that stage. And I was told, you use honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. So bearing in mind, I'm a serving police officer, I should have been honest. No. I should have been open-minded. No. I should have been willing. I was only willing to do what benefited me. It didn't matter that if it was for my benefit, then I would be willing to help. Otherwise, didn't care. Do your own thing. You know, none of my business. So it became, excuse me, well, I call it a mission of mine. Probably not the best word to use, but I did then have a goal of finding out exactly how this help self-help therapy worked. How was it going to work for me? I also, by the way, just as an aside, I popped along to an AA meeting. Anne and I went to a couple of those, and it was very, very close. It was touch and go. Lots and lots of things that I had done. I remember sitting at that meeting and going, yeah, done that, done that, done that. Very few that I hadn't done. So it was on the cusp, perhaps, of dual addiction, which is another reason that things like that fascinate me. When people with dual, triple, or whatever number of addictions come along to the fellowship, I'm always deeply interested in how they recover. And the separation of recovery programs, which I believe has to happen because I don't think AA program works to stop gambling. And similarly, I don't think the GA program works to stop drinking alcohol or being involved with alcohol or indeed drugs or overeating or whatever it may be. I think the programs have to be applied separately, although the 12-step principle obviously is a basis for most of them. So, what am I going to do next? I'm going to look at this 12 steps that they're speaking about. Okay? Now, I'm not here to go into them in great depth, but I am here to share that they were the lifeblood of my recovery and still are to this day. Because without those steps, I had no recovery. Because listen, I'm no angel, never have been, never will. I made big mistakes, even in recovery. Not gambling, but my behaviors were still unacceptable. Some of them reprehensible, and some of them for which I am. And they'll always will be deeply sorry and regretful, especially with regards to my wife and my relationship. But I have made amends as per the steps, and that to me is what maintains my recovery and abstinence. And I do think that they're different. I've heard many people on this meeting, share about them. My good friend Frank, who just introduced me there, Joe, Mark M, Bill. I've heard lots of people share about them, and everyone. I'm only singling those out because that's people that jump out at me, and of course Susie, because you know if you knew Susie like I knew Susie, oh, what a gal! But then singing's for later. It's not a karaoke share. So I then moved on to using the daily model inventory, which was a byline, and still use that to this day. And most of you will know the assets and liabilities from that, and we're all guilty of breaching them on any given day at any given time, because that is the nature of the beast. We are not saints. We do not wander around in sackcloth and ashes because we have an addiction to gambling. We are still people, but we're in recovery and we're trying on a daily basis, one day at a time, to stay away from that first bit. Which again highlights what I said earlier. I'm no different from the person that's here one day. The maturity program. Now, there was a thing. I was 37 years old. I was a detective in police, the Dundee City Police at that time, or Tayside Police. And I should have been a respected, mature person. I wasn't. I was totally immature. And it was only when I started to read the Daily Moral Inventory, sorry, and the Maturity Programme. Maturity Programme, bear in mind, was written for children in Los Angeles schools. And here I am, 37-year-old, a professional person with a power to take away other people's liberty, who couldn't even look after himself in some of the situations I was in. So I had to take it on board and look at even the first one, you know. We accept criticism gratefully, being honestly glad for the opportunity to improve. I do not think so. There was no way I was going to accept that. And yet I had to, because it was me. No matter what age I was, what experience I had, or what my life was about at that given time, whether I was a professional or not. So it became vitally important for me to adopt the 12 steps in my life using the maturity program, using the daily moral inventory, and then my favorite, the just for todays. Because the just for todays were a huge part of my life, and we read them earlier, which was fantastic. And I'm delighted that they, you know, were included in the preambles to all of these meetings. And I remember speaking to Frank about it at the time, and saying they would be a great inclusion, because I don't think they were used as readily as they are now, all across the pond. I may be misquoting that. I'm sure Frank will keep me right if I am. But you know, it thereafter became part and parcel of this meeting, Early Daily International, which I, of course, was fortunate enough to be invited to be a host, and hosted for many years with Bill Beame, my good pal. He called me Don Quixote. I thought he was just being cheeky, but there you go. And he became Sancho Panza. And when I finally found out who the guy was, a Spanish conquistador, I thought, wow, that's quite good then. I'm glad Bill called me that. So the biggest just for today for me is, just for today I will have a program. It has to be in my life every day. But it gives me a little out as well, a bit of breathing space. I may not follow it exactly, but I shall have it. I shall save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. And I use that mantra daily. I use others as well, but that one is always foremost in and uppermost, apart from the last one, just for today, I will not gamble. That's a given, you know. That's in everybody's life. So I carry on, and then I go back now and again, and I look back and I look at the combo book, which we have as a handbook, and I say to myself many, many times, this was just a financial problem, which is what I thought at the start, at the outset. That was why I got along to GA, because I never had enough money to live my life and to gamble as I wanted. So when I read, isn't it simply a financial problem? And the answer was no. That's often the easiest part to resolve. And although it took a bit of time, it was. But the most important thing, and the vital part of that is that it went on to say the most important issues to bring about a personality change from within. I had to change. I could not continue as I was, or I would not be here. I would not just be at this meeting. I wouldn't be on this earth because I was on a self-destruct. Prison, suicide, or death. That's where I was heading, undoubtedly. So this program has saved my life. And the last thing I'll say is when we speak about willingness, and Frank touched on it about giving back, I felt, I was going to say that obliged, but that's just a lawyer type word. I felt that I should give something back. And that to me was making amends. And I took it from step 12. Which, of course, told me having made an effort to practice these principles. That's my own alarm done. I'll switch it off. Okay. And I'll finish with having made an effort to practice these principles in all our affairs, all my affairs. I try to carry that message to the compulsive gambler who still suffers. And that, to me, is a daily part of my routine. If I can help anyone, I shall. I don't come along to this meeting as often as I used to because I then got a balance back of going to face-to-face meetings, and I still do that regularly. I try to get at least two and often more. I'll say thank you to everyone here. Thanks to Frank for introducing me. Great to see all of my friends here. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Dan, for asking me. And I'll finish with my mantra, which Rhonda will no doubt remember. Every day is a school day. My name's Alan. I'm a compulsive gambler. I have no gambling report. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. Before we go to other people's comments, I'll just quickly say, you'd mentioned step 12. If it wasn't for your step 12, and you also mentioned about Tom being at your first meeting, and if it wasn't for him being at your first meeting, would you still be here? But I could probably say the same thing about you. Because I will be forever grateful for.
Claire, I unmuted you by accident, letting somebody in. Sorry.
No worries. It's a regular occurrence, Dan. Think you're trying to tell me something. But yeah, just as I was saying, I'll if it just like grateful for all the support and everything you've given me over the years, and you're the one person that probably kept me coming back. So I will be forever grateful for your step 12. But we will go over to Joseph M first.
I'm going to give it to Bill. Bill's got a goal. And I'll give it to Bill first and I come in. Come on in, brother. Bill's been my partner for 5 years on a Sunday. Over 5 years. Go ahead, Bill.
Joe, I appreciate your courtesy. Thank you. I'm Bill B. I'm a compulsive gambler. One of the beauties of this program, and I've been doing it for a couple more years than Alan, is you get to meet some truly special people. I always used to be proud when my wife, for her Christmas photos, would dress our little boys in kilts. And you know what? My grandparents originally came from Scotland. I don't know that I've ever met a better Scot than Alan, and a more caring, decent human being. And I can just never get enough of him. And I would encourage you, even though it's early, if you live in the States at 5 o'clock Los Angeles time, 8 o'clock New York time on Sunday morning, you can go to a meeting in Scotland. It's called Tayside, T-A-Y-S-I-D-E, and it's hosted by Alan. And instead of just getting the 20 minutes we got today, he runs a meeting for as long as everybody is there, sometimes almost 2 hours. And if you really want to appreciate what a good servant is in this program, I would encourage you to do that. And one of the things that Alan does really well, and I'll close with this, is he sings songs. And he sings songs to Rhonda about "Help Me, Rhonda." And he sings songs to Susie about "If You Knew Susie Like I Know Susie." Oh, what a gal. Alan, you're the best. God bless you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. All right, we'll go over to Joe.
Okay, this is Joseph M, my real name. Compulsive Gamer. Ellen, I think I met your brother, Jamie, through you from going to different meetings, and what a blessing. And what a blessing to be on here today that, you know, I haven't been on here for a while. I got this dog that's driving me goofy. He had surgery, and he wants to do what he wants to do. But the question I have for you, I have a couple questions. You're very honest in what you said today. Very honest. First question I have is Tommy. And Tommy was with, I met Tommy before at one of the anniversaries. I've been to all of them since I've been here in America. And I should have been, and meeting you, that would have been unbelievable. Marius would have been laughing all the way through. But the question I have, did you have any thoughts? The first question, then I go to the second question. Did you have any thoughts after your first meeting that you thought you were a compulsive gambler and you'll be back to the next meeting, wherever it is? Second is for everybody on this panel here. And Frank, prayers are in my heart for your girl. On this panel here, you are so honest. And I was a trustee for 10 years. Me, Irv, Danny, Bill, and Jamie, and other people reviewed this with me. And you know, you played dominoes. You took your time back. You played dominoes for money, okay? But there's some people out here playing games for action. Now, action. Now, I just Googled something. But see, it's not gambling, but it's on the journey to a relapse, in my opinion. And what's your opinion on that? So I love you, brother. I love you. And I got to send you more music. One more thing. Alex Warren is the number one song on the Billboard, okay? Alex Warren, because I'm an indie artist, a lot of people think I'm a joke, but I'm an indie artist. And he came from TikTok. And what's so heavy was he never gave up. Don't quote me. I think he's 24 years old, the same as the girl, the country girl, Morgan, that's all over the charts on country. But I know Ellen knows who that is. But the key is, 9 years old, he lost his dad through kidneys, right? At 21 years old, he lost his mother through alcohol. She kicked him out before, okay? This guy was homeless, but he never gave up. So anybody on this program, and now he's got the number one song. And what he talks about is about recovery, you know, about going on. And how would you answer those questions? Like, repeating, the first one is, did you have any feeling that you weren't a compulsive gambler? Second part, Why is it so hard to people to understand is the games create action, in my opinion. In my opinion. I'm no philosopher here, in my opinion. And there's two words for control. There's inner control and there's external control. It's very simple. Just define that word. Love you, brother. Oh, man, I'm so anxious to... I chat in here like I was going on the radio. Then I called Walt. I said, get on the meeting, Walt. Your brother's on there. Okay, Alan. I mean, Big O.
Thank you, Joe. Great to hear from you, my friend. And fantastic to see my buddy Walt on as well. The answer to your first question is I knew from the first meeting that I was a compulsive gambler. Everything that was shared with me that night, God bless him, Tommy D, was in the chair. There were only three people there, Joe. So he virtually spoke for an hour, you know, which is Tom's way anyway. But I knew immediately, and I was able to say after that 2 hours to my wife and my dear departed sister, I know what the problem is. I'm a compulsive gambler. So, yes, virtually immediately. Now, I've heard people say that before and you never see them again. Had I been like that, then who knows? Somebody might be saying, remember that bullshit of Big Al that came on, you know, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? With regard to the thing about the dominoes, now, strangely enough, there was an older guy who was the most experienced in Dundee at that time. And he said to me, when I reported it and said to the meeting, remember, I was only 10 weeks in GA, and I said, and I want to report this as gambling. He said, don't be silly, son. I remember his words. You're only being sociable. Now, I considered that and I thought to myself, wow, that's a great get-out clause, that one. I was just being sociable. But I knew before I played dominoes that they played for money. Very small stakes. And I knew the GA recovery program, even though I'd only been 10 weeks, I had studied the literature in depth. Me being me and me being nosy. So I knew and I said, thank you very much, Alec, for your opinion, but I don't believe that you're accurate and I want it recorded as gambling, that I have gambled. And he was not very happy. And suffice to say, not long after that, it came to light that he had been gambling for quite a while and he didn't come back to the fellowship. He wasn't very keen on me, I think we could say. But God bless his wife, Helen, who is still in Gammonon in Dundee, although she's pretty poorly at the moment. And she always said to me, I was glad when you came along, Alan, because nobody before had ever challenged Alec on his views. He used to do raffles and say, you know, buy raffle tickets and say that he was being sociable because it was in aid of his bowling club and so on and so forth. So I agree with you, Joe, entirely. My opinion is, yes, it is gambling. And at the very least, if you do it, it's going to lead you back to gambling. That's from my own experience. And that's all I can share. Others may not agree with that, but hey, we don't always agree with each other. The reason is that we're the same is because we're so different. But thank you, my friend. Nice to see you.
Yeah, I love you, but the word is action. The word is action. Another thing I want to tell everybody, just for today, and Walt is here, okay, just for today was implicated in American literature before UK got it. But the trustees turned it down. And my brother Walt is here because me and Walt have studied these books. That's all I want to say. So LA International, by the trustees of America, should have been official Gambler's Anonymous meeting. Should have been. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Just before we go to Mark, I have had a WhatsApp message from Lucy Ann to say that she apologises for not being here. She wishes that she could be here. She knew you were speaking, but she was at our physical meeting and she wishes you well. And we'll go over to Mark.
Thank you, Claire. Thanks, Al. I must listen to the audios because I don't think I've ever heard the full story. But if I did, it was a long, long time ago. Great to listen to you. Great as always to see you. You're a good friend. You give incredible service, not only on Zoom but also within GA in Scotland at your meeting and at the national level. Exactly as you said, you're there to do what you can for everyone. You don't usually wait to be asked, and you're always the first for questions. You are still quite a challenging person. Just when we think we're going to close the national meeting, Al keeps it going for another 15 minutes by asking three questions that we already knew the answer to. But and that kind of relates to what I'm going to ask you. Because as you were talking, I want to drill a little bit more into you being a polis. Because I've met a couple of polis in meetings in Scotland. On both occasions, these police people came to a meeting that was far, far away from where they work, actually different regions entirely, across Scotland, to go to a meeting where no one would know them. That doesn't sound like that was what happened with you. So I've got a couple of questions. One was, how open were you about being a policeman in those early days? Or did you keep that quiet? Secondly, did it ever cause any issues locally? And third, did anybody kind of back away and almost run in the opposite direction if they found out?
Yeah, interesting stuff, Mark, and very pertinent, because for the first couple of months at least, I was very reticent to say what I did, on the basis that I wasn't sure I could trust everybody there, and being the nature of the beast, I wasn't a very trusting person anyway, in that regard. And I thought, well, if I say what I do, it could be turned against me. And however, I quickly realised that there were people in there that I could trust. Part of it was I used to get away. I worked on a back shift and I would get away at 7, halfway through my shift, to go to the meeting. So I had on sort of half my uniform and a civvy jacket. So it was kind of obvious I was either an ambulance man, a fireman, or a policeman. I had to be one of these. Yes, and then it became second nature. I did on one occasion have a difficulty with a chap who I had encountered in my career, and he wasn't sure, obviously, of me, and I was described as that police person in not so nice terms, like, how can we trust him? And to be fair and to be honest, the people in the meeting rallied and said, look, we trust this guy, so it's a safe place. I was sharing stuff as well, maybe not totally in depth, but I didn't go away. I mean, my first meeting should have been Glenrothes, but I wasn't in any great shape to go there. So I did wait until the following Tuesday. It was Wednesday at Glenrothes at the time, the following Tuesday, or that would have been my first meeting. And it never crossed my mind I have to go to a different meeting. Of course, I didn't know what I was going into. So I really had to just gauge it as I went along. And I'm glad to say, and I'm fairly confident in this, that across the meeting, certainly in Scotland, there's never been any animosity. If anything, there's more ribbing, shall we say, mickey taking, you know, because of my previous career. And of course, I then went on to become a solicitor. So you can imagine the laughs that that caused, Mark. Hope that answered what you've asked, buddy.
Thank you. We'll go to Walty.
Star 7.
Also, gambler. Boy,
hi,
that
Walt.
Was so good to hear. Yeah, no, wow, what a great talk you gave. I got a lot out of that. And I really enjoy hearing you talk. Al, two questions. One, did you spend time with Dr. Jack? And did he ever give you any great advice? And the second one was, who is the hardest people you had to make amends to? And I love you, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, Walt. Cheers, buddy. Great to see you. Yes, I did meet Dr. Jack and his lovely wife on two occasions. We spent time with them at conventions. And, of course, you know Alan S. From London. So him and Liz introduced us. And I met quite a lot of the people. There was a lot of Scottish stalwarts, you know, at that time. And they knew Dr. Jack from when the Scottish meetings first started in 1964. So, yes, I had the privilege to meet him. I also met, can't even remember his name now, Brown, sorry, the psychologist who was an honorary member in Scotland, and fantastic people, you know. And I mean, Dr. Jack was just an inspiration for me. And because we were both professionals, we had a common bond in that regard, with being professional people, but with the same problem. And I mean, he was amazing, fantastic speaker. And I've gone on that long now, Walt. I can't remember what the second bit was.
Who were the hardest person you had to make amends to?
Ah, my wife. Undoubtedly, my wife. One of the saddest things for me is that my father died in 1987, so he never had the opportunity to see me in recovery and gambling free. But because he was my go-to for money and so on, and had he still been alive, then he would have been one of the main people to make amends to. But undoubtedly, my wife, and that continues today, Walt, because I still have pangs of guilt about some of the things that I did, which were reprehensible. They were not nice. And I always say, I don't know if the boot had been on the other foot. And I've said this to Anne, whether or not our marriage would have survived. It really only did survive because of her. So, yes, it would definitely be Anne. And I'm eternally grateful for that opportunity. Great to hear you, buddy.
Thank you, Walt. And Sue?
Thank you, Claire. Thank you very much. for people that don't know who I am Sue C., grateful, recovering, compulsive gambler, last bet 1408. That's the date I protect, and I am so, so grateful to be on this meeting today. I've told many people that I'm just, from this program, I am glad to be alive. It saved my life. And I have to say, if you knew Bill B., if you knew Big Al, Bill B's on the brain because his meeting's coming up. If you knew Big Al like I know Big Al, oh, what a guy. What an amazing person, caring, loving. And I always remember that he says, every day is a school day. I am so grateful to hear people that have many, 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 many years in the program. And I always wondered when I first came in and asked people with a lot of time, why are you still here? And when they say to me, I don't want to gamble, I knew that I had to be here and this was the right place for me. So I also want to thank Big Al for telling his life to us, because I don't call it a story. I call it my life, Big Al's life, and everyone that speaks and visits service is giving their telling their life to people. And I can pour my heart out, and Big Al pours his heart out, because we want people to know about this program and how it works and the success that you have when you work the program the GA way. So I just want to end this with Big Al. I love you so much. And when you say you care, you love people, and singing to me, it like something I never had my whole life. And I thank you for that. And also, in 2 more days, I'll be 78. And I've been telling everybody this is one of my best birthday gifts, is to be on this meeting and hear you. And just thank you. I thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Sue.
And we'll go over to Dan now.
Yes, thank you very much for hosting today, Claire, and thank you to everybody that's helping today. Dan H., compulsive gambler, a little over 5.5 years without a bet. And what an amazing meeting today with you, Big Al. You know, I just sometimes just my heart's full of the love and the care that you give to other people and the songs that you sing. Of course, you don't sing them to the males in this program, but that's okay. I get it, because I had Winsome actually sing to me last year for my birthday, if you remember. And just it's just something about that that just shows love and care and true compassion for others when you're able to turn it into song, you know. But it's more than that. It's what you give every single day to others in the program, to yourself, to your family, and to others. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, I was thinking, I'm looking in the room, you know, we have about over 30 now. We had over 40 at one point. And as far as local members go, I can probably count on one hand, even less than that. There's probably only three or four that are from the local area. Everybody else is from other places. And I remember before COVID, there really wasn't too many of these Zoom, hardly any Zoom meetings at all. And I used to go down to the local GA meeting rooms, and there were one each day. We're in LA, so there's plenty of them. So I knew locations of each one, but it would be the same people, you know. And again, I have nothing, it is what it is. I would go there, I would see Big Al. And the next week I would go, Big Al would be there, and then Big Al would be there the week after that, and again and again and again and again for years and years. And it gets a little boring because it's the same story, it's the same people, and it shouldn't. But having this opportunity to be in the Zoom, I get to meet Big Al from Dundee, Scotland. I would have never met you ever, ever here. And not that they might, again, I'm not nothing wrong with the people here, and it got me where I got to be, but it's so beautiful to see recovery from all over the world. And this opportunity that was given to me by Mark and Frank, let's be honest here, they put this together, and there was an opportunity of a lifetime to be here, you know. And I'm so grateful for that. I believe that God does work in mysterious ways. My higher power has it all set up for me. All I got to do is follow along, but that's the hardest thing ever sometimes. But it's having people like you to be to show me how it's done, and how to love again, and how to be so caring again to others, where I wasn't that way. I thought I was when I was gambling, but I wasn't. I had too much other things going on. So I'm a better person today because of you, because of Frank, because of Mark, because of Sue, because of every one of you here. And because of me and my higher power, that I was open enough and willing to be honest and get the help I really need today and not have this huge ego and everything else. And your laughter, your jokes, your beautiful way of expressing yourself, it's a talent, it's a gift, it's a talent, it's a blessing. You know, some of us express ourselves in certain ways. If I were to start singing, we'd lose half the room right now. So it's probably a very good idea I don't do that. So again, thank you so much, Big Al, for everything you do. It always warms my heart every time I see you here. And hopefully you can come back more often once in a while. And appreciate
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. I always sing to the men as well. Thank you, Claire.
Thanks, Dan. Don't worry, I get fed up listening to him all the time as well, Dan. We'll go over to Joseph.
Hey, I got a very, very heavy question. My brother Walt is my writer, but he takes a lot of my words too. You came in as a police officer 34 years ago. I mean, pretty close to 34 years in March or 35, right? Right. I'm longer than that, I think, but I don't know. But the key is, the rehabilitation program was not in force as understanding gambling as an illness in Scotland or America. Did the Scotland, the police in Scotland, when you first came in, did they have any idea of how the serious of the problem of gambling, and then they ever considered you to put you back on the bus home? Because the analysis of gambling was not there, but the analysis of borrowing and not returning, taking things was there. At this point, that in retrospect, but because at Pepsi-Cola, okay. They had gambling from when I walked in, from put that car in gear to drive into the parking lot. They had gambling every day, some kind of gambling. I told them right away I was in a program, not to bother me. And they respected that. Now, 34 years ago, the respect wasn't there, was it, for you?
A good question, Joe. And the answer is, excuse me, in the police service at that time, there was a code of conduct described as a discipline code. And within that, there was a section that said failing to discharge a lawful debt could render you liable to termination of your job. So I was extremely frightened when I came into GA of telling anyone exactly what the problem was because I had numerous debts and for lots of money. And had I disclosed it initially, I felt I would lose my job and that would have been everything gone. I would have had no income. I couldn't have survived. However, the long and short of it was, I subsequently, and about 3 months perhaps into recovery, I contacted my boss and I said to him, look, I have to tell the truth here because there'd been an arrestment on my wages had been applied. And it went to him and he said, what's the problem, Alan? And I said, look, this is the problem. I'm a compulsive gambler. I've been going to Gamblers Anonymous. If that renders me liable to discipline proceedings, then I'll just have to deal with it. And he was fantastic, that guy. God rest his soul, he's no longer with us. And he said, I'm glad you're doing something about it, because I knew there was something happening in your life that was making things go wrong, because my actions were not in line with my capability. They always said how good I was, and yet I was doing stupid things. So, yes, you're right. Having said all that, I then made it my job, or part of my recovery, to spread the word about gambling being a recognized illness, just like alcoholism and drug addiction. It took a long while, but that they've now been accepted. It's now accepted that compulsive gambling is a recognized medical illness, and it's under the same umbrella as drug abuse and alcohol. I also went into universities in Scotland. I tiptoed into prisons because I wasn't very popular there, and I carried the message as best I could, you know, and I made sure that it was recognised that this was a problem. I spoke at various, you know, I spoke at a medical conference. I spoke at three universities. I spoke in schools and so on to carry that message. And that was part of my recovery, and remains so today. The one thing that I had difficulty with, and this is just the last part of it, I couldn't go on the radio because my voice was too recognizable. You know, I said I can't do interviews on the local radio because too many people would recognize my voice. That's because I'm loud and shout a lot and sing a lot. But thanks for the question, Joe. Sorry for that long-winded.
How long did it take to get the knowledge of a compulsive gambler for medical, because in the United States, it's still not 100% yet.
No, it took about probably the best part of 15 years, Joe. So that would be 15 years ago it was recognized. And it's steadily grown to be fully recognized on a level with Alcoholics Anonymous. They were given that all they wanted. The problem we had was all they wanted to do was treat us as a charity. They said, "You're a charity." I said, "No, we're not. We're a fellowship, and it's totally different. And we don't want your money. I don't want, you know, appearance money for speaking at these things, and so on." And that was always felt. They had the same problem. Dr. Jack, I remember him speaking to me, and they had halfway houses, which I think you've got the equivalent in the US of the same thing, and that was where it was fully recognized, and we got some more backup from them. Okay.
Jack, your Jack, Dr. Jack's son was on LA when I hosted last year. You believe that?
Fantastic, fantastic guy, and the family. Thank
Yeah,
you,
and
Claire.
very, very nice. Thank you, Claire, Danny.
There is no more hands up, but before we end the meeting, is there anybody else that would like to ask a question or comment?
Anybody want a song?
Ramond.
I don't want a song, but I want to thank you because really I needed to hear what you had to say and very wise. But my question is, you were a police officer, but when you started the meeting, going to meetings, how long afterwards were you still a police officer?
I went to my first meeting in 1991. I continued and I retired from the police in 2003, so 12 years.
Okay. Well, that was good. And I instead of I was just about to punch it up and say, I put a very good testimony and hope if and when I have a year in, you will be at my meeting. I hope so, because you.
I hope to be there, Ramondi. Great to see you.
With Susie, I'll be there.
Okay, I'll have to get a song with Ramondi in it.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. Well, it's not a secret, but years and years ago, I worked at the hospital, and people couldn't say Ramon in English, so I told them to call me Ramona, and apparently, there's a song called Ramona.
There
So
certainly
there you
is.
go. There you
Yeah.
go.
I will get that song for you. Thank you. Claire.
We'll go over to Moya.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much, Big Al, for your share. My name is Moya C. I'm a grateful compulsive gambler in recovery, and my clean date is June 23rd, 2025. And I am so thankful that others have already mentioned it about the connectivity of being able to get on the Zoom meetings and listen to people from all over the world. So I'm from North Carolina, and to just hear all these people from all over the place, and I really appreciate being received like I'm family, like I've known you for years. Frank S, Dan H, Susie, and Bill, and Bracelet Bob. Bracelet Bob even sent me some bracelets. So I am very, very, very thankful for this meeting, and thank you for your share. And I will be back. And they have a, I think it's a Polish song that is similar to my name. It's Moja Droga Lachogoja, something. I don't know how to sing it, but thank you.
Thank you, Maya. I'm making it a karaoke meeting done. You know what? We're exactly the same. Time has no meaning in here. One day has meaning, and it's today. And I haven't gambled, and you haven't gambled. We are the same. Thank you, Claire.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to chair the meeting tonight. Great listening to you again, Al. And as I said at the start, I will be forever grateful for your support. And I know you hate me saying this, but you are like a dad. And you're better than my actual biological dad. So yeah, I'll leave it there. And I'll ask you to take us out with the poem and the Serenity Prayer.
Thank you so much for hosting, Claire, and thank you, Dan, and everyone else that was assisting. I am delighted to have been invited, and